Reading in Isaiah 58, cry aloud, spare not. Okay, now cry aloud. Preachers, they holler, you know. Cry aloud, spare not. They don't spare. The Bible said if you spare any of them, there'll be pricks in your side. Spare not. Rebuke openly that others might see and fear. And open rebuke is better than secret love. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. But you know, the people, a lot of times that are religious, they don't feel like they've got any transgressions. But it says here they have. And the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily. He's not talking to a pagan people. This is a people that call on God daily. They seek God daily like the Jews. Did you know that every day of their life they seek God? And yet they're blind and cannot see afar off. They cannot see when good comes. They don't know what's going on. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They want to find them. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they. They even fast. And thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. They pray, they moan, they beg. Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure. And exact all your labors, that is your fasting for your own selfish motives. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate. That is to see who can be the greatest, who can be the most outstanding, who can obtain the greatest place and have the admiration of the people, to lord over the people or have somebody to admire them, to think that there's something special, a prophet or whatever it might be. I think one of the most sickening things that I have ever seen, times passing by TV or being in the room, and I've had the children in the hotels and motels to turn it on to watch something back there, PTL or whatever. And I've gone into the rooms to see what was going on. And there I would see somebody there trying to be a prophet on TV and playing this little game, you know. What was it? The great evangelist said he believed in the law of average. And this little process of elimination. You know, we've got 10 million people out here. And the Lord just showed me that you got a pain in the side because I feel it right here. And I have thought, what an abomination in the sight of God. And of course, you know where it went to. You know what happened to it. What is still happening to it. But anyway, it says here, behold, ye fast for strife, to strive with one another, and debate with one another, and to smite with the fist of wickedness, to exercise your authority, that is. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes unto him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Remember now, he said, obedience better than sacrifice. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, and not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thy own word, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In the transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance of clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompenses to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto him that turns from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed with the Lord, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And he goes on to tell of the great wonderful things that will come to them that serve the Lord. But you can see here what the Lord thinks of people and the generations in general, especially as to Israel that seems to be caught in this. And then he brings us as to the 60th chapter, and he tells us that we are to rise, put on our beautiful garment. And when we come to this place, we suddenly learn to differentiate and realize that here he is talking to a people that is back under the law, and people that rejected God, and people that are subject to the curse, and people that are under the curse. And then all of a sudden, the 60th chapter makes us to realize that there is something that has drastically changed. And we suddenly realize that we've come to Calvary, and we've crossed over the Jordan, and we're not under the law, neither are we under the curse anymore. But now we've come on the side as to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he that to whom the promise was made, and he that is our beautiful garment, to be baptized into Christ, to put on Christ, to put on our beautiful garment, because this is the garment, this is the body of the Lord Jesus, and this is the body, this is the garment, whereas the Bible said the wedding garment. If you come into this supper without this wedding garment, then you shall be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness, which means that you'll get into a religious zeal and a frustration, and you'll suddenly get into such condition that your mind just can't take it, and you'll wind up in intellectual ignorance, and you'll wind up in intellectual confusion, and you'll wind up out in the world with the dogs and the swines trying to project that old image of yours, that old bastard child image, that old body of yours has to be something in the world to draw the admiration of devils and demons that's in other bodies. So here we see that we cross over and we go to the other side of Calvary, the other side of Jordan. And the Lord speaks then graciously to Jerusalem and speaks to you and I, and he says, put on your beautiful garments. Now the minister's preaching, repent of your sins, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, put on your beautiful garments, Zion. And he tells you and I, make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But let us put on our beautiful garments. Let us come out from among them that are in the world and touch not the unclean things. And he said, I'll receive you, saith the Lord. As Joshua stood here, Satan stood over here. And the Lord said concerning Joshua to rebuke Satan and take the filthy clothes from off of Joshua and clothe him in these beautiful garments. So then here we are seeing as to the crossing of the Jordan, as to the Christ side of it, as to the resurrection, and as to him that appeared in a new form, not in the old dirty garments as to where Moses came as typical, or as it was the wilderness wandering, or as we would say that Jesus came in the image of sin, as in the dirty garment being made in your image, as to wear the dirty garment as it would being made sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God, being the prophet like unto Moses. But all of a sudden, now we cross the Jordan, we're on the Joshua side of it, we're in the mind of Christ. We have a clean mind. Our mind is no more continually evil, as the Bible said when God looked down the days of Noah. Here we are on the Joshua side, because Joshua has now, as to the Christ within the body of Jesus, has gone down to the heart of the earth like Joseph, got the keys to that part of the heart of the earth as to the souls in prison, come back up, resurrected in a new form, and now he's crossed over death, over Jordan, over these things, and here he stands on the other side, resurrected in the newness of life, and the Bible said, and coming forth in a new form that they didn't even recognize him, another form, the Bible said, which means he has put off the dirty garment, and now he has on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious, wonderful, righteous body, he that Jesus becoming our sins, when he knew no sins and smitten of the Father, that sin might be taken away, and then by the washing of regeneration, going down through these things, passing through the fire, coming up on the other side, and now we see him over here as to the Joshua perspective, as to the Christ perspective of it, and now it is that we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and members in particular, and he being made our sins, we have become his righteousness. And him dying out of the presence of the Father, we now live in the presence of the Father. So it's not us living, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So then it's not us anymore, but it's Christ. And now we have the Joshua perspective. We're over the old intellectual Jordan of the human reasoning, and now we have on our beautiful garments. We have on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ this garment that is spotless. The church without spot, without wrinkle. We are sealed on the inside of the Holy Spirit, and Satan never touches us. And the seed of God remaineth in us, which is the word of spirit, even the Christ seed, even the Lord Jesus, as to the conception of that which is divine, in Christ within you, the hope of that glory.
in that Christ was made heir to the glory of God, and he alone was made heir. So then he is your hope of that glory that you're going to see at the change over there, even the glory that Jesus stood in between Moses and Elijah on the mountain. That is the Mount of Transfiguration. So then we know that we have something to joy over. We have something to shout about. We have something to praise God for, because we're not under the curse anymore. We're not under the curse. See, in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it says, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do all things that are commanded in the law. And if you transgress one little place, you are guilty of all. And if you try to keep the law, you are debtor to keep all of the law if you attempt to keep any of it. And he that is under the law, then he has fallen from grace." So if you are under the law, then you've fallen from grace. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And there is no faith by means of the law, because the Bible said, "By the law shall no man be justified, or no flesh be justified." So then we know that of a certainty that we have passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. And we are free from the things of this world, and we're free from the old bonds child way of life. And we are now dwelling in heaven. We are they that dwell in heaven. We've crossed over the Jordan. We've crossed over death. We've crossed over the flesh. We're not in the world anymore. We've been chosen out of the world. We're hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the change of the body. So that means that this old body is dead. This old image is gone. It's buried. It's gone. We shouldn't always be trying to do something to it and for it. We should let it stay buried, and we should raise up Christ. And everything that we do, we should do in the name of the Lord Jesus. All that you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, and do all things as unto God. See, because we are now a new creature, we are now in a new world. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And as we were crucified with Christ, so are we buried with Christ. And in that we've been buried with Christ, so have we resurrected with Christ. And today death is behind us, and poverty is behind us, and sorrow is behind us, and all of these unclean things are behind us. And now we have on our beautiful garment, even as to be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that wonderful wedding garment our interspiritual angelic being has put on this body. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the old beast part of you, the flesh, as to fulfill the lust of the desire thereof. So we know for sure that we are children of God. We are not just as one that's to the world to be transformated, as the Bible said, in their minds when they're evil and they come and transform themselves as ministers of light. But we have had a new birth. We've actually been born again. Our spirit has been born again. And the spirit that came from God at death is through Calvary, through faith, is this, that we accept him as to our death. Then we're buried there, and our spirit went back to God who gave it. And today we are spiritual beings. We are angelic beings, and angels dwell in heaven, and angels cannot die. We are equal to the angels. And we are now in the glory world as to the angelic being. The angelic being within the body of the Lord Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the spirit within the body of that old dust creature. Jesus said, "The Son of Man who was in heaven and still is in heaven, the little child that was in heaven and still is in heaven, and that has never come to accountability, it's never done anything wrong." They said concerning Jesus, "We find no fault in this just man," which means that Jesus was still in heaven. His angelic being never left the presence of the Father at any time until he hang at Calvary. And when he hang at Calvary, he still didn't leave the presence of the Father as to the angelic spirit on the inside. But he did cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The body began to cry out, my God, I've done all things to please you. Why have you forsaken me?" And if he had not been forsaken of God, as I said before, then you and I could not be in the presence of God. Because the penalty of sin had to be paid by death. And death is not just going to sleep, being put out here in the grave, and then being brought back out. Death is when your spirit separates from the Spirit of God. And Jesus had to experience this very thing as going down into hell. But he did have a promise from the Father. And that promise was that no man can take my life. I lay my life down, and this promise I have of my Father, that if I lay it down, I can go back and I can pick it up. How could he do that? Because the righteous man, the godly man, will have the power to do even as Christ did. See, no man has power over the spirit to retain it at death. But then we're not men, we're sons of God. We're already dead by Calvary. And because of that, we have the power. We have the power to retain the spirit as unto life. And that when Jesus returns and the Thessalonian chains, we can come right back and pick our bodies up just like Jesus returned after his ascension and picked his body up. Because as he is, so are we in him. And we are heirs and joint heirs with him. And all that he is, that's what we are. And these things he said that I do, ye shall do. And greater things because I go to my Father. So it's very evident that we are a privileged people. We are now on this side of Jordan. We cannot die. We are on this side of Jordan. We cannot die. Then the question arises again, as I say over and over so often, because these tapes go in so many different places, the sermons and whatever. See, we cannot die. I say to you, as my spiritual children, them that are here and some that are brought around the different parts of the world that gets these things, they're still my children. But I say to you, you that are born of God, you cannot die. There is no way that you can die. Why shouldn't we rejoice? If I know that I cannot die, isn't that enough to make me happy? When the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and here I am, I can't die. See, I say again, what is the Lord saying? The prophet said, and God heard the groaning of the prisoners, and looked down and loosed them that was appointed unto death, even them that were under the law, no justification. They laid there, and God went down and loosed them because they were appointed unto death. He went down into the heart of the earth and preached to the souls in prison. Likewise, he came down into my heart because my life was in prison to the beastly image of the human body. And he entered into my heart by grace and preached to my soul and preached to my spirit and took my spirit, and as to an angelic thing, took it away with him, translated it into his spirit and took it away into the wonderful world of God and the wonderful mountain of Christ. See, and today I'm free from the body as to the bonds child that is in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, as to them things that are natural and them things that are carnal. I'm no longer relative to them. And I am free from that tabernacle that I was in the wilderness. And as I bore the image of the earthly, as this angelic man lived in that tabernacle of Adam, which fell to that beast level that wandered around in that intellectual wilderness of that human tabernacle. Today we're out of this, that house being dissolved at Calvary. We have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the temple of the living God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And behold now, as it was would be, the tabernacle of God among men, as we say. So I can't die. Why is it I can't die? If I can't die, why is it I can't die? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I wouldn't dare say I couldn't die. Well, why wouldn't you say that? The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak what God said and speak God's word. And God's word says, I pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Now, if I cannot die, I repeat, if I cannot die, why is it I cannot die? See, to begin with, why did I ever die? Why did I have to die to begin with? I've done nothing against God that I know of. Why did I have to die? The Bible said because of the sins of Adam. And though we had not sinned after the similitude of Adam, yet because of the sins of Adam, because of the sins of one man, all died. Why? Because we come from the loins of Adam. As in Adam, all die. All of us come from the loins of Adam. Therefore, we die. We die. We have the sentence of death in us. But now, whereas one man sins and that unto the death and the whole generation, the people that followed Calvary stopped it. And then it was converted back to its originality. And the same word that one time said, thou shalt surely die, if you partake of that intellectual reasoning of yours or the tree of knowledge or that old thing as to where that spirit of Satan come into the beast, which is that bodily part of you, which is a reproduction even from the origin as to where it entered into Adam, you shall surely die. Now, men die, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. Then how do we escape death? Because we are not men. We are not men. We once were men, and it was appointed unto men once to die. And when Jesus came as a man, and he died in my place, that was me dying at Calvary. That was you dying in Calvary. And that's why Paul in the Revelation said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. I am dead to sin. Why is it that I am dead to sin? It is because Jesus died. He became my sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am forever dead. As to the human body, it's dead. It's gone. It's buried in his lovely name. Now, I have put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not me living but Christ. Now I'm one with my Father by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, even as a membership of body. Father, make these one even as we're one. So then, I cannot die. Why is it I cannot die? Why did I die to start with? It was because of sin. The sting of sin. The sting of death. The sting of sin. Sin is a stinger. And it's called the sting of death. And wherever sin plunges into someone, it is death. So then, because of Adam's sins, I died. But now, as it was with one man, sin unto death, now it is as one man, Christ Jesus, righteousness unto life. As in Adam all die, in Christ Jesus all are made alive. As to one man's sins and one man's failure in works to please God, all of us become sinners and were rejected and abode in death. Because God is life, and we got cut off from life, and the iniquity of that ugliness was between us and the Spirit of life, and God could not look upon iniquity, so we died. But the angel of the Lord told Daniel, said, Daniel, Messiah will come. As the woman at the well said, we know that Messiah will come. He'll tell us all things. And they were expecting it because that's what the prophecy said. Said, Messiah will come, and he will make an end of sin, and he will do away with iniquity. Now it had abode there because of the law, the curse. It was the curse. Cursed is the ground. Cursed shall the woman travail. Cursed shall the serpent be on his belly. And so then there was the curse. The law came not to save us, but that the offense might abound and continue. But when Jesus come as to the seed to whom the promise was made, the offense was no longer. For he was delivered for my offense. I offended God through Adam, and he was delivered for my offenses. And that was the end of it. But the law came that the offense might abound and continue. But where sin did abound as to really raising itself up, then grace did much more abound to raise up above it. So as in Adam all die, as in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. Adam did not live right. He did wrong, and because he did wrong, then in Adam all die. But when Jesus come, he took care of the works. He restored everything. I am the finished works of God. It was before the foundation of the world that God gave this to you and me. And here at the rent veil of Calvary, it's brought to light. And now everything is all right. Everything is all right. You don't have to do nothing but just believe on me and believe unto righteousness. And now you are spotless, you're holy. My Holy Spirit will come into you and seal your spirit if it's real true faith. And that nothing can ever touch you. And all of these things as to the stumblings and errors of your body. A good man will fall 7 times and get back up. Though you stumble and stagger, yet on the inside your angelic being is sealed with the glory of God. And the seal of God standeth sure, that God knoweth these that are his out of all of them that are in the earth. The Holy Spirit sealing their spirit makes God to know and be able to differentiate, to tell what is his, irregardless to how much religious activity they are in the earth. Or hypocrisy, as we say. So then, why did I have to die? It was because of Adam's sins. So the Lord Jesus came. He took care of that. He took away my sins. Now my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. So then my sins are gone. See, my sins are gone. I said this so many times, my sins are not gone for today, and they'll be back tomorrow. My sins was not gone for yesterday, and I transgressed again today. My sins were gone forever, because there's no yesterday, today, and tomorrow for God. Just one eternal day. See, so my sins are gone forever. Jesus made an end of sin, covered sin with His blood, and He made an end of iniquity, because iniquity is this image. For in iniquity did my mother conceive me. And this is the very image of iniquity when you are born of Adam, the old beast image. See, so He made an end of iniquity, and He brought forth a new thing when He said, I will do a new thing. He resurrected in a new form, and today He's spotless. And we are spotless, and we are His bone and body. We're the church without spot, without wrinkle and blemish. And on the inside we have the heavenly treasure of His eternal Spirit and life on the inside of these earthen vessels. And we're making this manifest in our mortal genes through this outer man, that the life of Christ may be made manifest in this outer man, that we might be the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man in the earth, or that we might go on to perfection and on to the full reward, as being, as Paul said, complete in body, soul, and in spirit. Which has to do with the 1, 2, 3 as to the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, and a lot that we'd have to say, and that great is the mystery of godliness. So, why did I die? I died because of sin. But because of sin, and because I was appointed unto death, appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. Once I did that, I went to the judgment, and I was judged of God, and I was judged in mercy. Some men follow them as to their sins. Some men, their sins follow them. And some go on to the judgment as to confession. They're forgiven. Some men follow them in a different manner. If I confess mine, they go ahead of me. Some that do not confess, they follow after them. When they get to the judgment, then they're condemned. But ours is a confession to follow. After righteousness in our life is to confess our sins and the sins that followed after Jesus till they overtook Him at Calvary, so that He would receive the judgment that I was supposed to receive, and that ended sin. And my sins are now gone. My sins are now gone. The high priest of my confession, I made my confession. Now I can go before the throne of grace in boldness. I can go and say, Lord, I need healing. I don't have to go and say, Lord, I know that I haven't done right, and Lord, I know that I'm no good in Your sight, and Lord, I know, I don't know whether You'll hear me or not, but God, I beg of You, oh God, I'm a rascal. You know, we do that because we ought to do it because of the foolishness of our lives, and indeed we are all of those things in the sense of our ugliness. But in all reality, in Christ, we go boldly before the throne of grace. We go before the throne of grace with this confidence. God, You've made me spotless. God, You've made me holy in body and spirit, soul. God, You've made me Your son. I am Your child. The devil is trying to cause me a hard way to go. But Heavenly Father, I am born of Your spirit. I am covered with Your blood. And the devil has no part in my life. He has no means of touching me or hurting me. And hallelujah, glory to God, Satan, I adjure thee by God, you leave. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I have told the devil I didn't want him around. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You can't request that the devil leave. You say, Satan, I don't want you here. You go away. That won't do any good. See, devils don't go away because you request that they leave. Devils are cast out. When you rise up with your power and authority and your recognition as sonship, and you recognize the righteousness of God, which is by faith, your heart is purified, and God can then look on you because you're sanctified through that faith, and that stream of glory comes down like a dam that's been broken, the water pouring through, and that great mighty Holy Spirit comes through you, and that light comes out, and that darkness just goes into oblivion. See, and you take your power and authority through faith in God, and you command the devils, and the Bible said, resist the devils, and they flee from you because they are afraid of that light, and you are a child of light. So then in this we see that I'm dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. I am now free from the curse. I am now free from sin. Because the curse hath no more dominion over me. The law hath no more dominion over me. The man that's dead in the grave, the law hath no more power over him. Why is it then that I am alive forevermore? Though I once was dead, now I'm alive forevermore. Why? Why is this? Why is it I cannot die? Because I've already died. Why is it I can't die? The reason I cannot die is because I cannot sin. I cannot sin. If I could sin, then my sins would not be gone. If I could sin, my sins would not be gone. I cannot sin. If I cannot sin, then I cannot die. Because the sting of death is sin, and where there's no sting, there's no death. Now then, I say this so often to you, that if the transgression of the law is sin, where there is no law, there is no transgression. And if there is no transgression, because there is no law, then there is no sin, because transgression of the law is sin. But if there's no law, there's no transgression. If there's no transgression, there's no sin, because sin is transgression of the law. Now, if there is no law and there's no transgression and there's no sin, then there's no death, because death is the result of transgression. Death is the result of sin. And if there's no sin, then I pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. There is no way that Satan could ever touch me. Though I should live 100 years, he'd never touch me. Never touch me. Satan never at any time touches a child of God. I've heard people say, well, the devil's just beating my brains out. Well, you need to get off a crooked street and move over to Glory Avenue. Because when you live on Glory Avenue, he doesn't ever touch you. The Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And the power that he's given you is the great Spirit of Christ, which mastered the devil in the body of Jesus. And greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. Satan is the prince of this world, but Christ is the prince of life in your heart. And the Bible said, draw nigh unto the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you, because he is afraid of you. And that one of you can put 1,000 devils to flight, and two of you can put 10,000 devils to flight. So I cannot die, because I cannot sin. He that is born of God, John said, he cannot sin. For the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. He keepeth himself by his faith in God, and the evil one toucheth him not. And the Bible speaks of this man as being blessed, speaking of David of old. And he said, a man after my own heart. And he said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Is there such a person in the world today? There are people in the world today that God will not impute sin unto them. They can stumble, they can stagger, make mistakes, whatever they want to, but their spirit on the inside is sealed with the Holy Spirit, and they're born to the Spirit of God, and Satan never touches them as to defile them in any way, never at any time, as to their angelic spirit, because it is sealed with the Holy Spirit of life, and darkness can't get near it. So they're without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, what about this body, this outer man? What's that got to do with it? He's dead, but Calvary, he's buried, he's gone. What can Satan do to him to make him defile anything or make him sin? Sin is not as up to the body. The body's dead. The body's gone. The Bible said every sin is without the body. Every sin is without the body. He said when you sin the sin of fornication, you sin against the body. But sin is without the body. The creature has nothing to do with it. The creature's helpless. If the creature has to do with it, if the body's the one that's doing all of this, if the body's the one that's sinning, why doesn't he continue it when he's laying in a coffin? Why is it that when the spirit departs from the body, why don't the body go on doing these horrible things? See, God is a spirit. The sin is between your spirit and God's spirit, in that it is Satan's spirit as to that of iniquity. And God, knowing you of being his children, he hath made you to be innocent, come down in a human body, wrought salvation for you, as I read in the prophecy of the Old Testament here. And now you are in the beautiful day of your beautiful garments, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And now that was off to the dirty body is dead, gone, but the body of Jesus, the Lord never looks at it. He poured out his wrath on it once and for all. He doesn't seek to pour out his wrath upon you because he ended that at Calvary. And you are the bone and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ living from within. And that body that is dead is gone, is buried. That wretched body, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? By Christ Jesus, I've been delivered at Calvary. That's my performance. He said, I have an inward desire to do holy and godly and pure, but there is a law that I see warring against the law of my mind and my members, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my bodily members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body, he said. For when I would do good, I find that evil is present with me. And the good that I would not, that I do. And the good that I would, that I do not. For I cannot find a performance, and yet he demanded that having a will, we should have a performance. So then, where do I get my performance? The Jesus of God performed for me. The Christ of God done all of my works. The Christ of God performed everything I could not perform, and then went and sat down at the right hand of the Father till his enemies be made his footstool. And he's the head of my body. I'm the members of his body in particular. He's the head of the church, and when he appears, I shall be his glorious image. Everyone that hath this hope of glory within him is to Christ. He'll be changed because he is baptized into membership as the one body by one spirit. All right, so then I'm free from death. I'm not under the law. I'm not under the curse of sickness. I'm not under the curse of poverty. I'm not under the curse of the problems of the world. The only problems we have out of the world as to what we call the flesh and the man is because we fail to accept what the Lord has for us by faith and take authority over the devil, and we fail. We fail to go on to study, to grow in the grace of knowledge, to learn of the wonderful things of God. And because of the lack of knowledge, God knowledge, though you be gods, you die like men. You still die like men. That is, you go to sleep. Lazarus is dead when he couldn't get him to understand that Lazarus was asleep. The Bible said Jacob fell on sleep. Now, Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. If we are over Calvary, we have on our beautiful garments. Now then, are we waiting for a rapture? Are we waiting to get into heaven? Of course not. The law and the prophets till John. Jesus fulfilled every jot, tittle, folded it up and laid it away. And now the law is folded up and gone, and we're not under the law. And today, through the Christ that fulfilled that law in the Jesus body, we have, as him living within us, fulfilled the law of righteousness. Paul brought that out to the Jews. You have the law as to the letter, none of you keep it. He said, but these that are Gentiles who have not the law of the letter do by nature the things contained in the law as to Christ performing within them. He said, shall not they be justified and the others be condemned that do not keep the law? Therefore, we are not waiting to go into heaven. The law and the prophets till John. Since that time the kingdom's been preached, Jesus told him when he was with the disciples, pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. He wasn't saying the kingdom come as to the earth in this sense that he was the embodiment of the kingdom, which was the Christ. Christ is the kingdom of God. And he was saying that I'm going to go to Calvary right away, and I'm going to die, and then the kingdom of God is going to be in the earth in the sense that the kingdom come into your heart. Now, I pray, Father, not my will be done. Now, when the kingdom comes into your heart, as to Christ in you, you pray that your will be not done, but his will be done, that his kingdom may be set up in the earth and the wonderful, glorious millennium be brought in. So then it's very obvious that we are now the sons of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? It doth not appear as to looking at one another, as to these lying vanities, to know one another after the flesh. If we do that, we're in error. We should know them after the Spirit. It doth not appear as to the outward appearance, as to what you shall be like, as to seeing you naturally. Not as of yet, but at the change, you will be changed. See, you are already the sons of God. You have already passed from death unto life. You have already been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and already the kingdom of heaven is within you, and already you are perfect because it's the angelic man. The outer man is dead, but Calvary, buried, gone. The flesh profiteth nothing. Your angelic man went back to God who gave it. It's dwelling in heaven in the presence of God, and the Bible said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven, for you're not in the flesh, you're not in the earth. If you was in the flesh, you couldn't please God. But if
have chosen you out of the flesh, have chosen you out of the earth. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring, the changing of the body, or the changing of all things. And even to the extent that in this day that we're living in, it's not necessary for you to sleep as to be put in a casket or have them to pronounce you dead or these kind of things. All that's over, all that's gone. And we're moving on into the generations now to understand, to receive, to have this, that they might know this. So, we are here as children of God. And we are already in heaven. Already in heaven. The Son of Man is to his bodily members who was in heaven, who is in heaven, as the innocency of the child. We're not going anywhere. We already are what we're going to be. Your body is but nothing. And when your course is finished in the spirit, from the dust thou art, Adam, to the dust thou shalt return. But he said this to the second man, Adam, you're of the world. You go back to the dust. I'm from heaven. I go back to heaven. Folks, I'm not of the dust. I didn't come from the dust. The Bible said John was a man sent from God. See, you that are of the earth, the serpent, all of his labor for his belly and his mouth, because his labor is for that. And now the Lord never sees that old body back there. He sees us as Jesus sitting on the throne, when he, our life, shall appear as to the change of Thessalonians. See, and God sees us now as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, which means spotless, without any sin, holy in body, spirit, soul. And all we're doing is just going through our diplomacy as from glory to glory. The inner man as an invisible work that the eye cannot see. As to the natural, we see it from the elementary side of life, as to the teachings, to the great side of the diplomacy as a symbolic, a typical thing. And here we are in the spirit, and we're going right on to that wonderful diplomacy on the inside. Within the veil, the masterpiece is being made, and nobody sees it, nobody knows it. It's a secret thing, and he's stealing them right out, taking them right into the kingdom of God, as to from John, that kingdom, you've been translated into it, just like that. And God's taking the saints out, and they're going right into heaven, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens ever see. So then we find that we have no worry concerning the body. All of the faults, all of the failures. Jesus smote all of that at Calvary. But he does say, make this life on the inside manifest in these mortal genes as to perfect holiness in the body, in the fear of God. Paul said, that I might present you blameless, body, soul, and spirit. So in this, we are trying to make this cup to overflow, as David said. And then this image will be changed into the glories of God. That is, our spirit at the proper time will pick up these fragments of dust, these atomic particles, as scientists refer to it, and mind over matter, as to the mind of Christ, will command us to back together, because that's the mind that we have, and all matter emanates from God, and we're the controllers of it. To rule as one with a rod, to break the nations as pottery, to have our way, to say what we will and it'll be done. Now, so then that means that the body has nothing to do with it. We're already in heaven, folks. We've already been translated into God. We've already made what you call the rapture, the change, the translation. There is no such thing as rapture in the Bible. The Bible speaks of being changed from glory to glory. And the ultimatum of that change is from mortality to immortality, which means when your diplomacy of that on the inside is finished as a child going through school, at that very moment you'll receive the diplomacy as to your change, which means that your inner being coming complete in the sight of God will be made manifest in your mortal genes. That's all it is. See, and I said this so many times to make you stop and think, to get you away from the foolishness of the religious teachings of the world that think that they're waiting for a rapture to take them out of this world, when the church is already being raptured or changed. The word rapture is an intellectual application of the human mind, which means caught up, and indeed you'll be caught up. But see, you've got to remember, and I say this again, we're all here. We're all waiting for the rapture. And I say to you, I say now, all of us is waiting for the rapture, but you missed it. Because when I clapped my hands, it was all over. Because the Bible said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, before you can blink your eye, it's all over. What do you have to do with that? What can you do in that? What are you as to blink my eye and it's over? See, folks, that's all it is. See, the work is on the inside that you can do something with, that you've got time to do something about. It takes time. It takes working and praying in the sense of subduing this body, that this treasure on the inside is to this earthen vessel of eternal life and God justification might swallow up this outer being. See, swallow it up for the pleasure of God, that this heavenly treasure can be as a strength of utilization in your life to win souls and to establish the kingdom of God in the earth. So then, let's quit worrying about this thing that we're going to say. We're waiting for the rapture. You missed it. It's gone. Too late. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You understand what I'm saying? If that's the way it was, it would just be one little clap and be gone. Even faster than I could bring my hands together. Let's stand together and let's sing a little chorus together. A few little things tonight to exhort you. I've already passed from death unto life. I shall never come into condemnation. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what if you fall between now and the chains? If I should fall, if I'm born of God, the Bible said a good man will fall 7 times and get back up. But the man that loved the Lord, as to the fall that you're speaking of, Jesus enumerated some things through the teachings of the New Testament. And he said, you do these things, and you practice these things. And if you do these things, he said, ye shall never fall. There's no way, for there is ministered unto you an abundance as to an open door to these wonderful treasures of life, which Christ has given you. So, when you have this nature, he said, prove that you've got this nature by doing these things. If you can do these things, then it proves that you have the nature of brotherly love and kindness and long-suffering, meekness and patience and godliness and all these kind of things. He said, you'll never fall because you have the nature of Christ. You're partakers of the divine nature of Christ. Like a little child, you may stumble from the time of your spiritual birth and growing up into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, but you'll be all right, no problem. Mother and daddy is there to watch after you, even parents in the church to help you. So, we already are in heaven. We already have passed from death unto life. We already are sons of God. And we already have this eternal life. And we already are perfect, not trying to work ourselves unto it. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Justified by the faith, Paul, sanctified by the faith which is within me, he said. And we are already justified by faith of Christ. We are already sanctified by the offering up of the body of the Lamb. Not only are we justified and sanctified, made perfect forever, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Satan cannot touch us. We keep ourselves. And we're born of God and cannot sin. Not only this, but the Bible said he is also justified, sanctified, also glorified. So we've also already been glorified. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, the same as Jesus was that which was given in my behalf as unto death, and for my offenses raised again for my justification, that was as to me going to Calvary and God's wrath upon that image of sin. And that was me that resurrected from the dead. For the Bible said we're resurrected with Christ, hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And that is me that's sitting on the throne. For I am body and bone of his flesh and bone. And he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. And I overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the Bible said, and they witnessed and testified that they'd overcome by the word of their testimony as to testifying to the righteousness of God, the blood of the Lamb, because with my heart I believe unto righteousness, because in believing in what he done in my behalf took the iniquity out of the way. There's nothing between me and God. The middle wall of the veil has been rent, and my faith has brought me that wonderful potion of sanctifying me in the presence of God. So I believe, I have to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I have to believe because God cannot look upon me unless I believe. He purifies my heart by believing in his righteousness. He purifies my heart by faith. My faith in what He did for me. And that faith purifies my heart without works. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. That Spirit comes poured out to me. And blessed is that man unto whom God will not impute sin. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth his faith to him for righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, that is, having the righteousness through faith, or the righteousness of faith, the faith by which they are sanctified, even the faith which is in me. So then that means that we are eternally pure in His sight, and we're already glorified. He's already translated us into the kingdom of heaven. And all we're waiting for is, as I say, it happened. And that was it. That was over. That's all there is to is what you refer to as a change. Is just this enter you when the church has finished its course as to all these people that are coming into it. The last one hears the gospel. And when the last one is translated into the kingdom of God, the gospel going into all the world for a witness, then shall the end come, the change. Let's sing a little chorus together. The world's going to remain the same. They're going through the tribulation and be redeemed as to the millennium, as to be restored to the garden. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Savior. See, if Jesus did it all, then you have reason to rejoice. But if Jesus did not do it, and you did it, and if it's of works, then you don't need to be praising the Lord. If it's of works, we need to praise one another. But if it's not of works, but of the Lord, Jacob Esau, having done no good, that it might stand according to the calling, and not of works, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, and the children never yet, having been born, having done no good evil. So then, if it's by works of Christ, and faith in Christ Jesus, then we have whereof to praise Him. We need to rejoice. We need to thank Him because He did it all. And tonight we are free from sin and death. And we don't have any problem with sin and death. We're free from devils and demons and powers of evil. We're free from sickness and the dominion of the law. And we're learning this through the ministry, that we might have confidence. Paul said the ministry is set there for the perfecting of your faith. Well, that is to teach you until you can believe everything that you're hearing is from the minister. And the more that it is made known to you as to the mystery of God being revealed, the more that you believe it, the more perfect your faith is, and nothing is lacking as you learn all of these wonderful things of God, because the things of God have an end. And your faith becoming perfect, then that means that the devil cannot touch you. Taking the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And the Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. And the Bible said, happeth he that doth not condemn himself of that thing which he alloweth. Satan would like that when you stumble, that you should condemn yourself, that your faith should go down, so that he can have a breach, that he can get in there and attack your body. But don't do that. Hold that shield of faith. A soldier fighting in a battle, he's got his shield in one hand, he's got his sword in another. And just because the swordman of opposition pricks him or gets past and cuts him, he doesn't throw his shield away. He holds on as long as life's in that body, and he moves that shield and he stops that thing and he fights back, and soon he sinks the sword right into the heart of the enemy, and the victor's there. I am the God that healeth all of your diseases. I am the Lord God that forgiveth all of your iniquities. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the world. Who shall you fear? Don't fear him that's able to kill the body after that can do no more. But rather fear God, who after that hath killed the body can also kill the soul or put it in hell. That's who to fear. All right, let's sing again, can we? For my rest, it is complete.
while I sit there at His feet. Precious Spirit, Holy Spirit, sweep over my... Can you sing that with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And the tempest, it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. The altars are open while we're singing. And while we're singing, you have a chance to come to the altar to renew your vows and covenant with the Lord, to ask Him to help you with strength to continue against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For He's going to do everything He can. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Take the shield of faith. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Loins girt about with truth. Do these things that God has commanded you to do, that you'll have the whole armor of God. And that way the devil can't get to you. There is an armor of God that you can put on. Saul wanted David to put on his armor, but he said, I haven't proved these. But he had on an armor of God. He'd proved that. He took his little sling and he won the victory with it. That's what we need to do. Is put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our armor. Make no preparation to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but just be prepared in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing this little chorus for him. I'm tossed on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sunshine through. Seems I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heaven's view. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more valley, one more tear. One more curve in life. You've got one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Don't let Satan see your peace. Try to smile above your tears. Your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way, and it'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one one more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load. Sing that with me. We've got one more valley, one more hill. We've got one more sorrow, one one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go, and we can lay down the heavy load. when we get home.
Let's sing this little chorus together.
When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When your tears are in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you.
Sing that with me.
Someone who cares, there is someone who shares all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your and he cares for you. Sing it one more time. There is someone who cares, someone who shares all your burdens like no other can do. And he'll come down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. He's your friend and he cares for you.
Can you sing it one more time?
I found someone who cares, found someone who shares all my burdens like no other can do. He came down from the skies, brushed the tears from my eyes. He's my friend, and my friend cares for you.
Let's sing this little chorus together. You love the Lord?
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright morning star. And he is the best of 10,000. Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are Pharaoh, Pharaoh, the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Sing it again now. Oh my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are Pharaoh, Pharaoh, lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road. And he poured in the oil. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. Oh, he poured in the oil. Can you sing it one more time, amen? So he poured oil and the wine. It's the wine that restores my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. He poured in the oil and the wine. All right, let's sing this little chorus together as we come to close here. We've been singing this quite a lot lately because I feel like the people are not as active as they ought to be in going out and bringing in the harvest. It's harvest time. The writer wrote the song, "It's Harvest Time." And it is harvest time, and it's time that we went out into the highways and hedges to bring in the sheaves of God. Let's sing it together. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, we're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in. And we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing. Can you sing that with me? Oh, we're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We are bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing. Once again, now. Oh, we're bringing in the sheaves. When we're bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing. We're bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We are bringing in the sheaves. And we shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. Are you bringing in the sheaves? Will you come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves? Are you bringing in the sheaves? Bringing in the sheaves. Will you come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves? Let's lift our hands together. Let's sing this little chorus. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his son to die in their place. And he gave his life on
the cruel cross of Calvary.
Thank the Lord
for His marvelous grace. Can we give Him a wave offering?
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river someday. Gonna see His sweet face. With Him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
I read where He said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place.
Streets of gold, gates of pearls, pure walls of jasper.
Thank the Lord for His marvel.
Sing it with me.
Thank God.
There's a bridge over the river. Someday I'll see His sweet face. With Him I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvelous grace.
Let's lift our hands up. Another little chorus. Sing together before we close. The Bible said, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Turn your heart and mind toward God and toward heaven to praise the Lord, to give glory and honor unto the Lord God of heaven. Lift up your head, for your salvation is nearer now than it was before. As we sing together. They sing this chorus, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious did God's grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Oh, when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear the crown.
The Bible said there's a crown of life. Paul said it's laid up for me. And not only for me, but everyone that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, he also will have a crown. But that is a crown of life that fadeth not away. And God has given it to us through the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll wear the crown. We'll wear the crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over,
I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem.
Let's lift those hands up and close our eyes tonight. And I want to praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away. So we will praise Him. We will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And we'll give Him glory. For His blood that's washed away stain. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be no more. Once more, and time when time shall be no more. Go ahead and ask Brother Pascal, if he will, to come up and dismiss us. Brother Pascal, if you will, come while we're singing. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For that angel, he'll stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be. One more time together. Let's sing it together. For